So we're here today to investigate and see allegations concerning council policy of bed back independent progress. You can see the report by Simon Wiggins, appointed by Martin Hudson. This hand was for the Highway Council, paper A.
Thank you, Chair. I'm aware that this is an procedure that I must deal with in three parts, so I have to make my notes different and clarify those as we go through each part. So first of all, I'll deal with the actual issues, if I may. First of all, by means of introduction, I know work with most of the OC, but I have seen council votes at some time. I am Tom Wiggins, I am the LB member's support manager. So I manage the democratic team and manage corporate governance, hence why I was appointed by the monitoring officer to undertake this investigation. I'm normally sitting outside the table, so I'm going to run comfortable on this side, so we generally I hope all the members have had time to read the papers. I know you're all very busy, the same as service officers, but the details are there if you've had a chance to read through them. I'll try to keep the report reasonably concise and factual. I think it's hopefully reasonably self-explanatory, but obviously I'll leave that for you to determine. I know that the gallery and the press table is empty, but hopefully, obviously we've got papers here that are live, but hopefully we can keep this in open session, but obviously I'm sure the monitoring officer will advise you should we need to go and discuss anything within the live papers at the back. Before I sort of lay out the facts, as it were, if you've had a chance to read the report, you'll notice that I've tried on numerous occasions contacted a member of the main board, Councillor Eddington, during my investigation, and I've used various methods, email, post, telephone, and almost carrier pigeon, I didn't know what else to try. But Councillor Eddington, throughout the whole process, has chosen not to respond, as you note, has chosen not to attend today. You'll note that within the confidential appendices, I did include the efforts I have made. And I can confirm, just it's not within my report, but I have to confirm that Councillor Minton has seen a draft copy of my report. I can confirm that was delivered because we started using special deliveries of air confirmation of the tracking that they had included. And I've also confirmed that Councillor Minton was indeed invited to this hearing and was invited to bring witnesses and notify us of any other steps that he wants to take. I have received no response to either of those requests. So, again, I've been open and transparent as I can be throughout all this process. I can confirm I won't be calling any witnesses. Again, if you have a chance to read the report, you'll notice that I had some difficulty contacting either the complainants or the complainant of. So in order for me to identify any witnesses without having any contact has been somewhat difficult, so the majority of my determination is based on as they've arrived in the complaint and other documents I've been able to find that seem to be in my investigation, such as copies of the minutes and the assistant from the assistant clerk of Cambridge to confirm some matters, such as when the council assigned their register of office and such. I don't plan to go through the facts in any great detail. I think they're probably accurately laid out in the report, but again, that could be for your own opinion. What I would like to just refer members to is page A15 of the report, if I may. And you'll note on page A15 there that when I finished and concluded my investigation and came up with my draft findings, I did consult one of our designated independent persons. I'm sure that the monitoring officer can explain their role as unique and more clarification. It's just to make sure there's a double check that somebody independent has considered the report. And as you can see there, they've concluded that they agree with my findings and they don't have a problem or any issues with the report as presented. So just to confirm that and let members know that it's gone through an independent scrutiny process. One other point I'd like to make, coming to this one comes up frequently when we're dealing with complaints, is you'll see that I've considered the judgment of Mr. Justice Collins that he made in October of 2006 in regard regard to what's commonly known as the Livingston case. You may have heard of it, Mayor of London in Livingston at the time, and it refers to when was a councillor technically on duty, when was a councillor not on duty. You'll notice that one of the allegations then refers to a driving conviction, and obviously I use that judgment to determine as to whether it's my view as to whether he was representing council at that time or was in his own capacity as a member of the public. But it's quite a useful account, and it's quite useful to know that that exists. Obviously, within the pack, I wasn't able to supply you with the two audio recordings I referred to them in my report. They do exist. You can listen to them if you so wish. I did ask the clerk to make sure that they were available to you if you wanted to listen to them, but I will, for the help of them, want to say that this was during a public meeting. I don't know what device was used to make those recordings, and it is quite difficult to hear the words being said unless you're listening on headphones and you're in a dark room with nothing else to think about. It's up to the members again if you choose to take that on trust. I listen to those as the investigating officer, and what I've said is fact, whether you want to prove that to yourself and listen to the recordings, it's entirely up to you. But they do exist, but also put them in the paper. That's probably about all I want to say. Like I said, the report only speaks for itself, and there's no point in prolonging the hearing if I don't need to. I'll leave it over to you, Chairman, to determine where you want to go next.
Any questions for me?
Firstly, Simon, thank you for a very comprehensive and detailed report. I think we all understand the difficulty you had in trying to get cooperation from the, I'll call it the appellant, and indeed even from those who had signed complaints. So, well done for doing what you could in difficult circumstances. I think the only other thing I'd ask, and you referred to this already, clearly there are elements of evidence which identify the matters of fact, and one of those elements you have already alluded to, which is the recording of what was said. So I presume you did listen to it in headphones in a darkened room, and in your opinion, is the accusations that are put, the allegations that are put by those claim, were they accurate from your hearing of that recording?
Thank you, Councillor. I can confirm, obviously, I have listened to the recordings. As I say, it's quite difficult. You have to sort of really tune in because of the background noise at the meeting. I think within my report, I also made it quite clear that the recordings that have been supplied are only a snippet of the actual at that point in time when that was going on in the meeting. And Clark confirmed when I investigated and said that they don't record their meeting. I know the Parliament Council do. So it's quite difficult to set the content, it's quite difficult to actually understand, and that's why it would be my decision. I could speak to somebody who would like to ascertain what was the content of that being said. You know, was it a particularly heated argument? Was it after 4 hours of debate or 10 minutes? I was able to get any of that information. I can confirm that what I mentioned or what the complainant was saying and was said is on the recording. It's quite difficult, and again, I have quite clear in my report, it's quite difficult at the end of the comment being made to actually ascertain what was being said. So I only managed to conclude what I actually heard. And then obviously, I just put dots at the end and said that the audio trail, I can't actually hear anything else. I would like to make assumptions, so I've only included what I have actually heard. That is actually
correct. Can you be sure that it is Councillor Livingston making these comments? As we all know, while his voice sounds right, or how do we ascertain it is him actually with these comments?
Difficult question to answer without having to actually speak to Councillor Livingston to get him to confirm that it was him or not. What I would ask him is to draw on this fact that, again, the point I've made, Councillor Middleton has seen this draft report, and therefore he would hopefully, if he's read that report, be aware of the allegations against him and about the allegation being that it was him that said those comments. He could. could offer that at any point through my investigation, refute it, that obviously then I would have to have to delve into it deeper as a, you know, and he could point into it to confirm that it wasn't in the set. It's very difficult for me to confirm 100% that it was in the set, because it's not about meeting the mark. I'm not an audio person that can confirm it was his total voice. He has an opportunity to dispute it and has not. So, on that basis, I am more balanced to believe that it was than not.
And we did have witnesses who were present at the meeting. So, presumably, they were, I think, are the complainants. So, I assume that they know that it was him that was speaking, which is why this thing in the first place.
Well, to women like, except your summary at the start of my report, you'll see that there are initially 5 complaints. only 3 progressed because there was a request from one of the complainants to withdraw 2 of those. However, I make reference to the fact that they were very similar to the other ones that have progressed. Yeah. So therefore, again, on the balance of probability, we've got 2 people there that have been very similar complaints about the same person saying the same thing. So again, I can't say it's 100% because that's a judgment for you members to base on. You know, do you believe that the facts are there in front of you? But in my view, they are more likely than not.
I find it a little strange why 2 of the complainants refused to take the interview or actually give you any information. Do you know any reason why?
You'll see that one of the responses I received, without saying names, one of the complainants was quite short and abrupt, and they were more or less of the view that the facts were there, they provided them with documentary evidence, and as far as they were concerned, that was all they needed to provide. I took that, that was their opinion. They could take that view, but they wanted to take part. In my own personal view, it was somewhat disappointing that we got through to this final stage. It is quite, as you can see, an onerous task. This is a task that I've had to fit in amongst my own job, but it's part of my job, so I'm not going to say no, it's not my job, but this is an additional piece of work. We've also convened this meeting today, and also we're putting the time in highly to consider the video. So it is somewhat personally very disappointing that they didn't choose to take part to conclude it in a clean fashion, but that's a personal choice for their part. They've been involved and they didn't wish to take part any further, so that's a choice for them.
That's fine. Yeah.
Are there any more questions, guys?
Not as such. Thank you for bringing the report that you've done.
Yeah, that's fine. So thank you, Simon. It's a very detailed report. And again, it's all odds, the looks of it. So thank you very much.
Okay, so I just think we should ask Simon to the board so we can consider it.
We used to have the rules where we could recommend they have an entity exist at the present time. So the strongest recommendation that we have is censure. And as you can see there, that is my recommendation, that I believe that the action of censure should be the opinion of the committee. I've also touched on the fact that during my investigation it came to light that Councillor Millington had not undertaken any training on the code of conduct. Again, it is my recommendation that should you be minded that that is within your recommendations, that that training is undertaken by Councillor Millington as soon as it's feasible. And I also just make reference to the fact that I believe throughout the early parts of the complaint, when he was contacted by one of the deputy monitor officers.
Sorry.
Councillor Millington had made reference to the fact that he would be willing to provide an agreed apology. Obviously, we've got to this stage now, we will determine what the final outcome is, but going forward and trying to look for the future, I do also recommend that it is possible that Councillor Millington could still have that option open to him, and that may well clear some of the slate or the bad blood between himself and the complainants. But again, you can't enforce that, but again, it's one of my recommendations that it could assist going forward, although obviously I'm aware that every time other issues outside of this matter. Again, I just make reference to the fact also that this has all been done in consultation with the designated internal person, so we can't have come to this conclusion without consulting them. Obviously, it is a matter now for members to decide whether the recommendation is appropriate when balanced against the seriousness of the breaches that you have just concluded. So I shall leave that open to the members, obviously, to consult the work you need to.
Can you just ask what censure means, please?
It means publishing a notice in the local paper setting out the outcome of this. So essentially publicising that somebody's breached the code. And that's your finding.
Thank you very much for your time, Simon. We will